You know, we have, I heard a lot of flipping the pages, and let me explain what's happening. That's a good sign, because that shows that you were trying to pay attention, right? Because next week, next Sunday, would normally be the seventh Sunday of Easter, and then the Sunday after that would be Pentecost Sunday, the end of the Easter season. But because the ascension of our Lord is transferred in most dioceses in this country, at least, is transferred to the seventh Sunday instead of falling on the Thursday where it's really supposed to be, because it gets transferred to next Sunday, the church allows us to use what would have been the seventh Sunday readings today on the sixth Sunday. So are you thoroughly confused? That's why we had the first reading from the sixth Sunday, but then the second reading in the gospel were from the seventh Sunday. And I did that intentionally because, well, they kind of fit better with what I wanted to preach on anyways. And it fits better with Mother's Day. Wait and see, all right? So today we celebrate the sixth Sunday of Easter with the seventh Sunday readings. And we celebrate Mother's Day. And in this gospel that we just heard the deacon proclaim, our Lord is praying to God the Father. And this whole part of John's gospel, is actually referred to as Christ's high priestly prayer. That this is Jesus Christ praying and interceding in a very priestly way. And so these several verses here are referred to as Christ's high priestly prayer. And what does he pray in this prayer spoken to God the Father? He talks about all of his disciples that have been given to him. And he says that I've protected them. I am coming to you now, Father. And he says that I gave them your word and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. And he says something very interesting. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He asks the Father to consecrate them in the truth. Our Lord is praying here, and in the gospel that was assigned for the sixth Sunday, right before this passage, our Lord is praying that we may all be one, that we may be one in our witness to the world. And our Lord is recognizing that we are sent out into the world. That's our job, to go out into the world, but to not be of the world. It's a very difficult task that we have as Christians, right? To be in the world and yet not of the world. And one of the beautiful things that's going on here is we see our Lord really praying for the church, right? Because the church, as we sang in that one of those last verses we did of the opening hymn, the Ave Maria, you know, we pray for our mother, the church, here on earth. There's a sense in which one of the beautiful things about Mariology, that we revere Mary as the mother of God and as our mother. Jesus Christ gave her to all of us as he was suffering and dying on the cross, right? He said, behold your mother. But there's also a sense in which Mary then is the archetype of the church, right? Because if Mary is the perfect Christian, Mary is not God, right? We always have to point that out to some of our friends. Mary is not God, but we honor her nonetheless and revere her among all the other saints because she did the Christian life perfectly. She was the best, and not was as if she's dead, she is the best Christian disciple there ever was. And therefore is really the model for the entire church. That's why the entire church is called to look up to her. And that's why we have this month of May in which we honor the Blessed Mother. How fitting in the same month that we honor our earthly mothers, right? And how nice it was to have our first communicants. They just received First Communion yesterday. And to have them come and to dress back up all nice and to crown Mary. To show Mary our love for her, that we revere her as our mother and as our queen, right? But our Lord here in this gospel is praying for the church. He's praying that the church may be one, that the church may face persecution. Isn't this what we heard in that second reading that we heard? In that second reading from St. Peter's first letter, He says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. What he's saying, what Peter recognizes, is that part of being in the world and yet not of the world is that we're going to be persecuted. We're going to experience those kinds of persecutions. But again, this is why our blessed Lord gave us the church. This is why our Lord gave us the church, to teach us and to guide us, and also, honestly, as a means for us to know how well we are in communion with him. If the church is his bride, for whom he suffered and died, then we can really measure our own faithfulness to him by our faithfulness to the church. Now, let me qualify what I'm saying before you flip out, because I know some people will, oh, what about this and that? And what this does not mean is, this does not mean that the church is perfect, right? The church, all the way up to the Pope, is made up of sinners, right? The very hierarchy of the church, we're all still sinners, right? But God, Jesus Christ, gave us the church as the means of salvation, the instrument of salvation, and he promised that the gates of hell would never prevail against her. He promised that the Holy Spirit would always be there to guide her, despite the fact that her hierarchy and her members are all sinners, right? Except for the Blessed Mother herself, who is the best Christian, right? The best model of Christian discipleship. But it's important for us to remember this, that the church is not just some obscure institution that we kind of have to listen to. No, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the institution, if you want to use that word, although sometimes we have a negative connotation attached to that word. The church is that instrument of salvation, that institution that Christ gave us to help guide us, to give us the sacraments. And yes, the church is still made up of sinners, again, all the way up to the Pope. But it's important that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? That we recognize that great gift of the church. We recognize, too, that the apostles and their successors, the bishops, are the ones who we hear our Lord praying for in the gospel today specifically, that they and only they really are the ones who are entrusted with the teaching authority of the church. You know, I don't want to get too political, but just earlier in this week, our president and our vice president both tried invoking scripture and Catholic tradition to justify some very anti-Christian things. Now, since when are they bishops, right? Since when have they been entrusted with the leadership of the church? Since when did they spend 8 years in seminary studying this stuff academically? They didn't, right? And thank God they didn't, because then they wouldn't be the president and the vice president, right? We have our leaders in the church for a reason. Now, again, they're still sinners, and they need our prayers, but we are called today to give the church the benefit of the doubt. That's part of being a good Catholic, is to say sometimes, you know what, I don't completely understand the church teaching on this particular issue, whatever issue that may be. I don't completely get the church teaching on that issue, but you know what, I'm going to give the church the benefit of the doubt while I try to understand it. Because after all, she's 2,000 years old, she's guided by the Holy Spirit, she has this wonderful tradition that's been handed on to us from the apostles themselves, from Jesus Christ. I personally don't have any of those things, so even though I might personally have a disagreement with a particular issue, I'm going to give the church the benefit of the doubt. And the church doesn't call us to blindly follow. The church says, give us the benefit of the doubt, but then ask your questions and try to understand. The church wants us to understand not just what she teaches, but why she teaches what she teaches. Right? This is something that I think a lot of us sometimes struggle with. And a lot of us sometimes think that the church, again, is just this obscure institution that we kind of have to listen to. But today our Lord is telling us that he gave this church to us for a reason, to guide us, to help us, to give us the wisdom of 2,000 years and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray today for our church. Let's ask the Blessed Mother, who is the archetype of the church and the very best Christian disciple there ever was, let's ask her to intercede for the church and for all of us, that we may be good Catholic Christians, that we may have faith in our bishops and pray for them, and that we may be good Catholic Christians ourselves by being in the world and yet not of the world.